You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh,
it's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jake Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's league encounter with Gloucester City.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the Gloucester match, we'll also be hearing from the FCUM Diggers later in the show, and we'll be hearing all about People United Day. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. It was a disappointing midweek outing for FC United in the league as FC went down by 3-1 at the Shea against Halifax Town on Tuesday evening. It was a much better week for FC United reserves, however. Firstly, on Sunday, FC United defeated Ashton United by 8-5, and then on Thursday evening, FC defeated Stalybridge Celtic by a pretty standard 2-1. Away from the pitch, and FC United this week have received two awards, one for Broadhurst Park itself, which won a Civic Award for ground control construction from the Spaces organisation, while the FCUM Diggers received recognition from Britain in Bloom for their outstanding work around the ground. And finally, the next FC United comedy night will take place on November the 17th at Broadhurst Park. The night will be hosted by Smug Roberts with Jamie Sutherland and headliner Deliso Chaponda on the bill. The evening starts at 8 p.m. and tickets are £10. Available from the office on 0161 769 2005 or from Vinnie Thompson on 077 792-833-086. To the weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United hosted Gloucester City at Broadhurst Park in the league. We'll find out shortly how the Reds got on, but the day also marked People United Day. Before kick-off, Ben caught up with the club's community and education manager, Andy Cheshire, to find out more.
So, it's People United Day today at Drizzly Broadhurst Park, but we're joined by the far from Drizzly, Andy Cheshire, from the club's community team. Thanks, Mike. So, looking forward to today. What's happening?
I'm looking forward to today. Thanks, Ben. It's not a huge amount of events happening. The main thing is the game between United Glasgow and our Survivors of Torture group, which will kick off at 5:15 to allow Margie time to get ready to be the man in black in the middle. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
You're joking. Margie's refereeing?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to keep it quiet. I think that's why Mike Norton wants to get on the last 10 minutes.
That's amazing. So, People United Day, you've invited your old friends up at United Glasgow. There's a video on the website about how glorious United Glasgow are. They really are. They're up there with the likes of Dulwich Hamlet and hopefully ourselves one day when we get our mojo back kind of thing after the last 18 months. But what's the message that you're trying to get out there today from the community side of the club?
I suppose through football that football can be used as a tool to engage with everybody, and regardless of what's happened over the last year or two, FC United are still an inclusive club open to all, and I think United Glasgow epitomises that ideology, to be honest, and that's why I've invited them down. The Survivors of Torture group is another example of how we're engaging with the hardest to reach members of our community, and certainly it's a humbling session seeing the smiles on their face when they come off the park, and we do things differently at FC, so it's not just a football session. We've got a volunteer from the Trafford branch, Anne Robinson, who comes and makes the day even better for them every single week, making sandwiches and drinks and what have you. So the whole togetherness of the club is ideal, and that's why the fixture is perfect for this day.
What do you want after this? Where do you want to take it from here, the relationship with United Glasgow?
Certainly the Crystal Vehicle Hire who've put the funds up for bringing United Glasgow down has agreed already to look at a return fixture, so that's something we'll be looking at for Refugee Week in June 2017. Certainly, I want that relationship to grow, and I don't see any reason why we can't maybe get United Glasgow's women's team down for International Women's Day, and you know, because for me, United Glasgow do epitomise that the football brings together everybody. They started by challenging racism, they started to challenge sexism, started to challenge bigotry and homophobia. So to be honest, they're the sort of the perfect model, and I want that relationship to grow with them, and I want the message of today to be carried across our support.
You've been a busy boy. Mm-hmm. There's Big Colt Day, mm-hmm. There's the Toy Store, there's all kinds of things going on at the club. There's also the Wellbeing Project and the Sporting Memories Project.
Sporting Memories Project.
It's all happening.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was probably the best session we've had at the Sporting Memories Group. There's guys there that are making lifelong friendships at the age of 85. It's great. It's another beautiful project to be involved with. So.
Well, Ander, thank you, and keep up the excellent work. Well done, and good luck today.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Andy Cheshire there on People United Day. As you heard there, FC United were honoured to welcome both United Glasgow FC and Freedom from Torture to Broadhurst Park for People United Day on Saturday. Before kick-off, Ben caught up with United Glasgow's Ben Raw.
We're now joined from United Glasgow by Ben. Hi, I'm Ben, by the way.
Hi,
nice
Ben.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you. You too, mate.
So, what role do you have at United Glasgow?
So, I'm kind of a coach, a player, and on some of the committees of United Glasgow. So I've been involved for, maybe kind of coming up to for about 4 years now. Really fantastic. I'm from Manchester, from Chorlton originally. I'm an FC fan, so it's just wicked that we're down here today. Andy Cheshire's been fantastic, and yeah.
What was it about United Glasgow that got you interested in volunteering for them in such a way?
So I moved to Glasgow, and I was volunteering at a night shelter for destitute asylum seekers, and that was part of a charity called Unity in the community. And I heard about a football team that is kind of connected to Unity, came out of Unity, and that was and then I met Alan White, who's the chairperson and founder of United Glasgow, and that's kind of like where I got kind of started to get involved.
And we spoke to Andy Cheshire earlier, and he comes from United Glasgow FC, of course, and the ethos of the club, it's very how could I put it, right on in a way, isn't it? It's refugees are welcome, there's a women's team as well, and that tries to combat sexism and bigotry and that kind of thing, and that's what the whole ethos of the club's all about, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're dead right, Ben. And one of the things is that we're trying to kind of like move on to kind of our education stuff at the moment, kind of educating our players, and we've got some what we call education days coming up. And our three main objectives is fighting sexism, homophobia and racism. And I guess that's kind of, some guiding principles around the club. So it's that. It's anti-discrimination. That's what we talked about. And it's also financially inclusive. So anyone can play for United Glasgow. So come to training. You don't have any money. You're not working. You're a refugee. You're an asylum seeker. You're absolutely more than welcome. We're trying to fundraise all the time to kind of keep costs to an absolute minimum. If you're working, you stick what you can in the pot, kind of minimum fiver for games, and
and just to ask, there's a train of thought with some football supporters in this country that football and politics should never mix, but United Glasgow, you like with Dulwich Hamlet down in London, and a bit like FCO in previous years, jumped in with both feet in a way, and got involved in issues like we do Big Colt Day here for homeless charities and that kind of thing. What's the reason why you think football should get involved in real-life issues?
I think one of the amazing things about football is that it's what an equalising factor it is. People come along. We've got sometimes over 20 languages, over 30 languages at training, but yet we can communicate with people through football, And it's completely unique. It's the biggest hobby in the world. So, people from everywhere in the world can come along, and you can kind of have a kick around, have a game. You can build friendships. And it's just an absolutely fantastic, it's a fantastic equaliser, and it's a fantastic thing to have. You get fit doing it, you get healthy mentally and physically, and it's just it's a fantastic thing to come along and just be part of.
And it's a cracking thing as well. What's the future for United Glasgow then? Is it to get a foothold in the football pyramid? Is that on the cards eventually?
Because I'm not sure about that. I think what we're excited about, a lot of people on the committee at the moment, is this education stuff and starting to kind of like put our message across. I think there's a kind of, unfortunately since Brexit, I think there's a rise of fascism in the UK, and that's something that we're always trying to battle across, whether it be in Manchester on the tram, you've seen the videos of those guys, or in Glasgow, it happens all the time. There's some absolutely disgusting stickers being put up. Is education is a massively powerful and revolutionary tool, and that's what we want to kind of tap into.
Education is, but so is football. It's like we said, alluded to there. You put a round circular thing on the floor, even my nana would kick it.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
Exactly.
Well, Ben, thank you for joining us.
No worries, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having us.
And good luck with the match that's taking
place.
Yeah,
thank you very much, Ben. Pleasure.
Ben there from United Glasgow. Also, before kickoff, FC Live caught up with Jonathan from Freedom from Torture.
So we're now joined by Jonathan from Freedom from Torture.
Yes.
And there's a cracking match taking place at the end of this one here on the 3G pitch. United Glasgow FC against team Freedom from Torture. You're the captain.
Yes.
You've already told me off air you're going to be playing in midfield.
Yes.
That's the beauty of picking the team as well.
Yes.
You get to pick where you're going to play as well.
Yes.
So tell us a bit more about Freedom from Torture.
Freedom from Torture is a human rights charity that treats the mind of torture survivors. Torture survivors come from many, many countries around the world, and when they get here, it's the things they've experienced back in their country is not finished. So Freedom from Torture help people to understand the horrible things that have happened in their lives, you know. So that's what Freedom from Torture does.
And it's a very, at the minute, it's a very live issue with everything that's been going on in Calais at the moment and stuff like that, and the press reaction to certain issues. I think it's very timely that we have organisations like Freedom from Torture doing initiatives like this, but it's supporting people in the community as well who like you say, have come here from horrible situations and well, getting them a bit better.
Yes, there's quite a lot of conflict at the moment that's happening in the world. You know, you talk of Afghanistan, you talk about
Syria
and the Congo in Africa. There's conflict happening almost everywhere. I can say now in every continent. So having organizations such as Freedom from Torture really is very, very helpful, because people have experienced a lot of horrible things in their own countries. And then when they come here to settle in the community, it is very important that, you know, they get an opportunity to be seen as individuals. And people like organizations such as Freedom from Torture help people to sort of understand those things that have happened. And, you know, having FC United as well, you know, as our partner, you know, makes all the difference.
And today you're playing a football match.
Yes.
And it's a question I've asked to United Glasgow,
yes,
FC.
Yes.
There's a thought process for some football fans that football shouldn't get involved in politics and that kind of thing. You represent an organisation called Freedom from Torture.
Yes.
What is it about football, yes, that brings so much help to people who've been in a horrible situation?
You know, freedom, I call it an international language. All we need is just a ball, you know, to bring people together. And that's the magic about football. You know, when people come to Freedom from Torture, they've got so many things that going through their minds. But then with football, they get a chance to forget about the traumas. They get a chance to forget about all the other things that are going on in their lives. So football is something that anyone can do. And when people play, you know, it just automatically, you know, it just kind of help people to be who they are and make the most of it, really.
Today, football, mm-hmm, United Glasgow FC, mm-hmm, it's going to be an epic fit. You've got the manager, Carl Magerson, refereeing, yes, bizarrely. So it's brilliant what's, yes, taking place here,
yes,
today.
Yes.
I think it's a beautiful thing. You did coach Cam Malcolm as well a couple of weeks ago too,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes.
So what's the future now?
Well, what we're doing is that we're trying to raise awareness about torture, because as we speak now, there's so many people, you know, so many countries in the world where torture is still happening. So what we're saying is that the more people can get aware of what's happening, we're not going to eradicate torture altogether, but we can reduce the amount of torture that's happening in the world. And so that's what we're just going to carry on with our football sessions every Thursday with FC United, which has helped the boys a lot. You know, so we're just going to continue raising awareness about the impact of torture, because there's no way that torture can be justified, you know. There's no way it should happen. So that will be our job. And we could do with having more freedom from torture places, because there's so many torture survivors who have got no opportunity to have that, you know, the treatment that we've been lucky to have, you know, at Freedom from Torture.
Well, have fun today.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy the game. I don't want to say I hope you win, because United Glasgow are a very good club and I like them a lot. But John, I hope football's the winner. There you go.
John, I know one thing I was going to say. For us, it's not about winning. It's about being part of the community. That's what FC United has done for us. It's made us feel part of the community. You know, when you leave your home and everything behind, you come to another country, you want to belong. And that's one thing that we do not have. And being able to play just on the pitch, you know, it makes us feel part of the community. So that's the most important thing. So whether we win or we lose, that's nothing to us. It's about feeling part of the community.
Well, Jonathan, thank you for coming on.
Okay,
good
thank
luck today.
You.
All right. Enjoy it.
See you later. Thank you.
And you can find out more about Freedom from Torture by visiting www.freedomfromtorture.org. And for more information on United Glasgow, please visit unitedglasgowfc.org.uk. To the football itself now, and on Saturday afternoon, following a mixed set of results for FC in October, it was back to Broadhurst Park for Carl Margison's men, as FC United hosted 7th place Gloucester City. Here is Marv Willers with a match report.
Thank you, Cockers. Usually, scoring the first and last goals of a game of football is a sign of a successful afternoon. Sadly, for FC United, Gloucester scored 4 times between the tasty FC sandwich. Jason Gilchrist opened the scoring on just 2 minutes, and Luke Ashworth finished off the afternoon in the 87th minute. Gloucester's goals came from Joe Parker, Zat Kudwika and Tom Owen Evans. 4-2 it finished. Here's the goals.
Throw into FC United. Chandler throws it to Winter, plays it back to Ashworth. It's on the edge of his own penalty area and plays a long ball, but that'll easily be mopped up there by Spencer Hamilton. And it's played there to Jerome Wright. Jerome Wright plays it inside, then chips it over. Decent looking delivery. It's 1-0 and it's Gilchrist. What about that?
And made by the birthday boy.
Jason Gilchrist scores with a beautiful cross from Jerome Wright, and a pretty much a free header there. Nobody was tight on Gilchrist, and he just very composed, just gently nodded it into the head, took it very well, placed it well, keeper no chance.
And that was right on the 62nd mark.
As Dale Tong prepares to take a throw in round about the halfway line for FC United, right hand side, gets it back from Kay. Tong brings it inside, he's robbed. It's played forward now to Kvitsa on the turn, but a nice work from Ashworth. And Carnell getting into real trouble. Kvitsa, this is going to be 1-1. He slides it in for Parker. It's been an absolute Keystone Cop start to this game at both ends of the field. And David Carnell, well, he's, I don't know whether he's complaining to Winter about the back pass, but he just, I think he accepts it.
I think he knows it was his blunder.
Just a heavy touch there. Kvitsa followed and won the ball and just played a nice square ball to Joe Parker, who slides it in. And on People United Day, it's gift day at both ends. Clearance, Eckersley's head, rather a vertical one. Thompson tries to flick it in field. Gloucester have it. Chipped forward. Eckersley. Thompson's disposition. Force Kvitsa. Kvitsa with a real chance. Kvitsa right foot. A beautiful finish. A ball came off Thompson. It was lost possession. Gloucester with a 2-1 lead. And it was a very, very composed work from Kvitsa. Took it into the area. Put it on his right foot. Didn't have a lot to aim for there to Carnell's right. Placed it into the corner. 2-1 Gloucester City.
Again, we lost the ball deep in our own half. And unfortunately, when we lost the ball, the player was allowed a run that he shouldn't have been allowed.
Well, what a blow for FC United. But here we go. And the Gloucester have it on the far side. Played forward by Thomas. Thomas threads it through nicely. Oh, this could be 3-1. Oh, goodness me! Lamentable.
Well, there was an air of freedom there, certainly.
Goodness me.
The perfect start for Gloucester.
And an absolutely disastrous start.
Where do you start
FC
with that?
FC United.
Where on earth do you start with that as a piece of football? Paul?
I think what somebody up there was Carnell tried to boot the ball to the centre circle again and they hit one of his teammates.
Bounced back and it was, it was Tom Owen Evans, the man, who controlled it nicely and a nice finish. Thompson there can't control it there, gets muscled out of possession. Kvitsa, he's got Parker to his right. Kvitsa delays. That was poor from Kvitsa, but all bounces back there to Owen Evans. Now Kvitsa through now. Oh, and that is 4-1. It came off Carnell.
That's
it is a horror story. You've heard these turns of phrase before, but goodness me, ball lost. And Kvitsa, his first shot, got it back from Parker, and
two changes coming on.
But it could be after the horse has bolted, I'm afraid. Corner ball, FC United.
It's only our second corner.
Well, Gloucester have had a sack full of corners.
Four.
Well, that's a sack. You can get four in a sack.
Well, yes, it's a small sack.
Thank you. It's all going Pete Tong as it comes over the corner. Good header, 2-4.
Belting header from Ashworth.
Ashworth, seventh goal of the season.
Yep.
Well, there are 3 minutes to go. FC United started very brightly, but it didn't last too long. And they've been overwhelmed by Gloucester as this game has gone on. They took an early lead, but Gloucester went 4-1 up fairly early on in the second half. And a consolation goal towards the end by Luke Ashworth, his seventh of the season. But really, FC United, they've got a lot to look at in terms of defence. Really has been a disappointing effort, some real mistakes. FC Paul Scott Kay's got to hold his place. Zach Corbett's got to come under consideration.
Yeah, I like Scott Kay in the back four. Maybe we have to find a solution in the midfield and let him play in the back four. But today, you know, you could argue, some would say we've been mauled by the Tigers, but we could have been mauled by Pussycats this afternoon, to be honest.
You'd probably keep Ashworth for his goals, probably, wouldn't you?
Really? I think Ashworth defends quite capably. I think he provides aerial threat at both ends, apart from scoring his goals.
There's an observation that they're similar types of defenders. They're neither with huge pace or...
I think you need somebody like Scott Kay to sniff out the trouble, don't you?
I think.
A reactor.
I have to say, no disrespect to Gloucester City's front line, but I don't think they're anything remarkable, be fair. And the way they've swung through our defence this afternoon, I think you have to question all four defenders and the goalkeeper, really, for this afternoon. It's not been good, really, at all.
Well, that's well remembered in the sense, we talk about the defence, but it all started with an awful mistake by... Carnell. That's what led to the equaliser, and that obviously is going to contribute to huge uncertainty at the back. And although he made a couple of decent saves later on, all part of the contributory factors, and a few heads bowed for FC as they go off, sullen faces, and they go again.
And
next Saturday,
and we go again next Saturday against Bradford Park Avenue. It'll be here at Broadhurst Park. Emily Maguire's back. She would have been horrified this afternoon, I have to say. So it's Bradford Park Avenue, then it's Stalybridge. They're all coming thick and fast now, these important games. I was speaking to Steve Wood off mic earlier, and we're basically now in a run of games against teams either around us or below us. So it's very, very important that the Kyle Madsen and Daz pick up the players now and get us in the right frame of mind, because very quickly it could all turn. Very, very quickly. I mean, we've got apart from Nuneaton Town, who we've got to play Gainsborough Trinity, Boston United, and then there's two matches against Altrincham coming up as well, of course, over the festive period. So it is all happening, and we can't play like that against those teams.
We'll lose to anybody defending like that, I'm afraid.
Yes, it's particularly disappointing after a good start, isn't it? I mean, it really did appear to bode well.
It's in stark contrast. I mean, you said about the Kidderminster game, when the players were coming out, we've got to get a performance like we had against Kidderminster last week, where everyone knew what they were doing and everyone was at 110% doing it. And in the first 5 minutes, we were creating chances and we were tearing them apart at the back. But after the equaliser, there was no going back in that game at all, and it was... We're fortunate to keep it four, to be fair, at times.
And if you think, 7 days ago we were keeping a clean sheet at Kidderminster. Now, that was partly through a bit of fortune as well, but the difference is incredible, isn't it?
I don't think the defence was particularly fortunate. Last week, I thought that the first goal was incredibly fortunate, but the defence, everybody was, it was working as a unit and pressing all the time.
It was a cup performance. It was like we were playing a league side in the FA Cup, and we did ride our luck. 17 shots off target last weekend for Kidderminster.
I mean, I thought first 15 minutes at Kidderminster, we could have been three down, but after that, we kind of got a grip of it.
Absolutely.
But the problem at this club, again, is that, you know, you get Kidderminster and it's bigged up as a game, and we raise our game for the big team, and then we play Gloucester at home and we don't perform the same, do we?
And this is the important thing. It doesn't matter where Stalybridge or Bradford Park Avenue are in the league table. We have to treat it like a proper six-pointer, and we can't just turn up and go, oh, it'll be fine because these are in the bottom three for a reason, because it's not going to work like that.
And that should happen anyway.
It should, but it doesn't, as we know.
I mean, looking at, interestingly, Fylde have, like the other end of the table, Fylde have lost today at Tamworth, so Darlington have been able to close the gap. But for FC, Stalybridge's win takes them off the bottom, and they're within 8 points. So FC now are just 8 points clear of the drop.
And like we said, because of the matches that we've got coming up, that can turn round very, very fast. And we've always assumed that because Stalybridge, Altrincham and Bradford Park Avenue have been so bad in the opening gambit of the season, that will continue. But it won't continue if we give them, do a Telford and give them 6 points.
Well, do you remember last season we had this run of seven or eight defeats and it dropped us in deep trouble? There's a risk that we can go down that road again, and you know, we have to nip that in the bud quickly.
So let's make sure that doesn't happen. Just to say, FC Live will be returning on Tuesday night for the FA Youth Cup match between FC United and Carlisle United. Head down to Broadhurst Park. It's going to be a cracking evening. The youth team are superb. They play lovely, lovely on the deck, fast first touch football. It's great to watch. So head down to Broadhurst Park on Tuesday night. If you can't make it though, FC Live will be there, so join us. And FC Live proper will return on Saturday here at Broadhurst Park for that match against Bradford Park Avenue. My thanks to James Quinn, my thanks to Stato Paul, and my thanks to you, dear listener, for joining us. And thanks to the Gloucester City fans who got in touch with your compliments about the commentary being so unbiased. We say it as we see it, and that was pretty bad. But this has been FC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and the Armchair Army.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. Unfortunately, after the match, FC manager Carl Margeson wasn't free due to referee commitments. However, Darren Lyons was available, and here is James and Ben speaking with Daz after the game.
Bright start. Say, Darren, you've been very optimistic. How frustrating was it when it all started to unravel?
Yeah, great start, like you said. Changed it about a bit, brought a few people in that, you know, been out for a bit through whatever reason. Freshened it up, and it seemed to work. But you can't legislate for personal errors. Dave saved us umpteen times, but, you know, he even said at half time, to be fair to him, I don't know why I did it. I don't know what I was doing. And the second one was another personal error on it. So.
I mean, generally the goals came from a lot of slackness at the back. There's been quite a bit of that this season. What's the thinking? Do you think maybe get a bit of personnel change, Zach Corbett coming in, Scott Kay dropping back?
Yeah, well, we've got the you know, the people to do that. But to be fair to the lads, the Kidderminster and Halifax second half, they were fantastic. So, you know, you can't, like I say, no excuses, that you can't legislate for what's happened out there.
I mean, I think that's probably the frustrating question, isn't it? Because everybody's saying Kidderminster, the team played as a unit, pressed, everybody doing the job. What's the key to why then, 7 days later, you almost see something quite the opposite?
I think the key is this is why they're playing at this level, and that's no disrespect to the lads. I'm not slagging them off. We've just said it in there. We've locked the door and sat them down, and we've told them to, you know, to look at themselves. You know, you can't throw performances in like that. A week or so ago, second half against Halifax, miles a better side, and then show up and do that today. It's just not on.
Yeah. What did seem to work on a break was the Gilchrist and Wolfenden combination. At the beginning was very dangerous. That's a new one for you. Was the thinking there'd be more pace between those two?
Well, Wolfie likes to play in that pocket, and then again, since he's come back, he's looked sharp and he's looked fit and he's done well with his movement. And Jason, he was the bright spark today for us. He was the only thing that's come out today thinking, well, yeah, he's done well. He could have had an hat trick on a better day. Took his goal fantastic. Works his out, you know, he works the line fantastic. His movement's great. He's a bit elusive because you don't know where he is. Like, for instance, the first goal, he's got on the lad's shoulder and popped it right in the top corner. But, you know, one player out of 11 is not good enough.
And do you think that, though, that Gilchrist-Wolfenden combination is something that, how likely is it you will pursue that a few times? And, you know, no disrespect to Greaves and your man who's Johnson who's suspended.
But. Yeah. No, it worked well, James, like you said. It's different. As long as they get the service and as long as they get the right ball into them, even down the channels, because they're both quick lads, they're mobile, which is different for us. I think a few times we've told the lads we want them to play football. We want them to play football. But, you know, sometimes we've just been saying in there, you watch the best players in the world, when they've got to do, they put it in row Z or they just put it in areas and in channels. And I think today we did that to a certain extent and got in behind them and had... How many chances did we have first half? You know, we had four or five chances by just an hopeless ball, as they call it, into the channel. But with the movement and the pace we've got, yeah, it's different. It's another string to the bow.
Yeah. How much, you know, is this happened at the beginning of the season where Scott Kay was put into a three in the centre. How possible is that as an option you may try to solidify things at the back?
Well, it's difficult. It's just finding the right mix, because like when we started the season, the three of them in there were doing really well. Chez, Harry and Scott. Scott's more of an holding midfielder, you know, which he does fantastic. Even when he went dropped in at centre-half today, he can do that quite easily. It's hard to point people out. You know, the lads know they're disappointed down there. They know they've not done enough. They know they can do better. And all we ask for off them, James, is work rate, endeavour and commitment, and, you know, they've not done that today.
But you've got to keep Luke Ashworth in for his goals, I suppose.
Yeah. I think he's the nearly leading goal scorer now, but
he's got seven.
Yeah, it's a weapon, isn't it? You know, we work on free kicks, and again, it's another free kicks, another set piece we scored from. But I keep saying it, I sound like repeating myself. It's not good enough. It's not good enough.
We've been here before against teams, perhaps. I know Gloucester come in seventh in the league, but against Kidderminster, it's never really been a problem for FC. We've always been, you know, come on, we'll have this. Mm. Coming up, though, next, we've got some really, really important games against teams lower than us in the league. What are you and Madge going to do now to G them up and make sure there's none of this complacency going into Bradford and Stalybridge?
Well, we've had them locked in the dressing room. We've given them a few home truths. We've asked them to go. Well, we've not asked them. We've told them to go home and have a look in the mirror and see what they did wrong. We never ever ask them to look at the negatives in a game, but today we have. We've asked them to go home and look at the negatives. What can they do better? What did they do wrong? What did, you know, first and foremost, you as an individual do wrong? And then after that, what did the team do wrong? Did we work hard enough for each other? No. You know, we've seen things on there today that I've not seen for a good few months from an FC team, and they'll be leaving tonight knowing that, no uncertain terms, it's not good enough for that.
And are you all coming down for the Youth Cup match on Tuesday night? Because the last time we saw the youth team, really nice football, one touch, all fast paced stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be good to have the first team down sometime for team building more than anything.
They will be down, Ben, but it's after they've trained. So they'll be outside, so they will be coming in.
Okay. Well, Darren, thanks very much for coming up. You're a gentleman, and good luck. We go again next Saturday.
Yep, back on the bike. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Darren Lyons there, following FC United's 4-2 defeat at the hands of Gloucester City on Saturday afternoon. To hear now where that result leaves FC United in the league, and for all the other results from the National League North, it's now time to hand over to Marv Willers for this week's Marv Sports Report.
Thanks again, Cockers, and welcome everybody to another weekly dose of Marv's Sports Report with me, predictably, Marv. Well, that defeat for FC United leaves the Reds in 15th position in the league table. Up at the top, AFC Fylde's lead was cut to just 1 point on Saturday after they lost their unbeaten run with a 1-0 defeat against mid-table Tamworth, while second place Darlington comprehensively beat Harrogate 4-1. Kidderminster Harriers are third after a 1-0 win at Edgeley Park against mid-table Stockport County. Chorley are fourth, they'll be hugely disappointed not to have won, drawing instead 2-2 with Alfreton. Fifth place FC Halifax Town 7 game winning run came to an end at the Shea against surprise side Brackley Town, who are now 7th. Salford City returned to winning ways after a 7 game winless run after beating Telford 2-0 at the New Buck's Head. Worcester City pick up 3 points with a comfortable 3-0 win against struggling Altrincham at the Victoria Ground. Curzon Ashton failed to build on their midweek draw against high-flying Chorley after they were beaten 2-1 by Gainsborough Trinity at the Tameside Stadium. Nuneaton Town battled back from 2 goals down as a last-minute goal rescued them a point at home to Boston United. And finally, the battle between the teams starting the day in bottom and second bottom saw Stalybridge earn 3 crucial points at the Horsfall Stadium against Bradford Park Avenue to move above Altrincham into third place bottom. And that concludes this week's Marv Sports Report. With me, Marv, farewell and goodbye.
FC United return to action this weekend as FC host Bradford Park Avenue at Broadhurst Park. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this game, then have no fear. The FC live team are here. They'll be going to air on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. right here on your very own FCUM radio. But before any first team matches, make sure you head to Broadhurst Park on Tuesday evening as FC United's youth team take on Carlisle United in the first round proper of the FA Youth Cup. Admission will be cash payment at the turnstiles, £5 for adults, £3 concessions and £1 for under 18s. Kickoff will be at 7:45 p.m. But if you cannot make it, not to worry, FCUM Radio will be there broadcasting live from 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday night.
This is FCUM Radio, the official radio station for the preservation of the balm cake.
On Saturday before kickoff, the club's award-winning FCUM diggers were busy at work, picking apples and beginning the process of making a new range of cider for the club. Ben caught up with Richard Searle to find out more.
So we're now joined by Richard Searle from the FC Diggers, and something's going on at Broadhurst Park today involving apples, a bike and some buckets and things. Is this some kind of weird Halloween thing that you're doing here today, Richard?
No, it's a very wholesome, natural thing. We're here with Dan, as I call him, the orchard man from Moss Cider Project, Baked Brit and Blossom. George and Celia, who are nearest neighbours, who live across car park at Broadhurst Park, who are fruit tree fanatics and experts. And Kay, and we're going to be squishing some of the first cider apples we produced from the big tubs here. We've managed to salvage at least half the carry bag from those from the kids who haven't used them as ammunition, lobbed them onto the pitch for Graham to pick up. And we've got some other donation apples that come from a small orchard in Harper Hay. So
this project, this has been going on for about a year now, I think, from memory. I remember the original video when they were taken from South Manchester, blessed South Manchester, to up here to even more blessed North Manchester.
Sure. Well,
and the trees have been here for a while now.
12th of May, actually.
12th of May.
Yeah.
And now they're literally bearing fruit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the thing about things like this. You can overpun the whole event to get to the core of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's actually something we can produce. We've got a big vat. What juice we squeeze, we're going to actually ferment. And we're going to produce some cider here, which we thought, one of the things discussion with Michael was that perhaps we can use it as a couple of bottles and give it away as one of the prizes and pound for the ground. Yeah?
Yeah.
Whether it'll take your teeth off is another matter.
It's a work in progress, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Go on.
And then sometime late in the year, what we're going to do, we're going to take some of these trees out of these tubs and put them into the ground somewhere.
Yeah. Now this leads me on to my next question then.
Yeah.
You've won an award.
Yes.
The group has won an award. It's been 18 months, 24 months literally, of hard, intensive labour.
Yeah.
And now, just this week, the RHS and North West in Bloom have presented the Grassroots Garden here at Broadhurst Park, the home of FC United in Moston, with a Level 4 Thriving It's Your Neighbourhood Award. That's a lot of hard work that's gone into that. It's well deserved. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now that these apple trees are coming out of their buckets and going to be put in an orchard somewhere, this whole area, how much work? Because there's a lot of parts of this ground that nobody sees, like the far side behind the park side of the ground. there's so much work gone into this, isn't there?
Yeah, we've practically done every Sunday morning, bar probably half a dozen in 2 years. It's a core of people. Most of them use the
number. Yeah.
And and it, basically, not the soil. It was just clearing up the soil from leftover builders' rubble. But we have put something in equivalent to 130 trees into the ground. Six came down for the build. We've replaced with 130 trees. All sorts of varieties. We've got apples, pears, cherries, plums, medlars, mulberries, one Italian walnut. And what can you say? And we're going to try and find some way to put some more trees in somewhere.
Somewhere.
Somewhere. But, you know, so we can still spot the stadium amongst the forest, you know. And I think that's part of our contribution to North Manchester, saying not just football ground, but here.
Well,
and an orchard.
I don't mean to use like a terrible geopolitical term, but it is demonstrating the club's soft power in a way that, you know, the opposition for this ground to be built here.
Yeah.
Obviously, the floodlights are, you know, you can't do much about floodlights, but you can enhance the area, and it's much better than what it used to look like around here, isn't it?
Well, I think. I'll give you an example. Next to St Mary's School, on the planning application, it had ornamental cherries. So we just swapped those for fruiting cherries. Yeah. So the kids can go to school, a couple of years' time, nice juicy cherries on the trees. And it shows kids where cherries come from. They don't come in plastic containers in the supermarket, they grow on trees. So the same with the apples and pears in the other corner on St Mary's Road. You know, I'm up for people just coming along going, oh, I like a taste of that, I'll have that. You know, crunch that away, it's good for you. Yeah,
I'll throw it at your schoolmate.
Yeah, I'll throw it at your schoolmate. But eventually, you grow out of that and realise, don't be such a and that actually really tastes quite nice. You know, free food. Yeah, basically.
Well, Richard, congratulations to all the group, the FC Diggers, for the award and for everything that goes on to the from the Moss Cider Project as well. Yeah. Just a quick plug for the FC Diggers. Where can people follow you on Twitter and that kind of thing?
We're on Twitter, which is FCUM, The Diggers. That's basically it, really. We make little films of what we do.
Well, thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Richard Silver from the FC Diggers. And that's it from me for this week's show. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday this week at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening. And from me, Cockers, see you next time.